Welcome back to the pregame show here on 1430 Kino. Scott Armstrong in for Doug Greenwald this weekend for the last four games of this five-game set between Sacramento and the Grizzlies. And it's my pleasure to be joined by the Grizzlies pitching coach, Dyer Miller, longtime professional baseball pitcher and coach. And Dyer, when Doug suggested that you'd be a great guy to talk to get my feet wet this season with the Grizzlies backup role, I thought quickly and I said, who's a well-known baseball person who we've both spoken to at some point in the past? And then it hit me, Earl Weaver. So let's start with Earl. What were your impressions of being around him, working for him, pitching for him, just sort of your fondest memories of Earl Weaver?
Well, I think I appreciate him more after I retired and got into coaching. You know, he was kind of ahead of his time in a way. I think he was the first organization to use a radar gun for one. I remember him on a bus in spring training getting some birds flying by or something like that. You know, on the bus he was doing some stuff. But he was, and he did a lot of scouting, which they use now, you know. He was good with that. We always had a meeting before we'd play a team, and he had some good scouting notes. But, you know, he was a tough guy to play for. He couldn't mess up too much. I came up as an older rookie. I was 29, and he didn't mess with me too much. But if you didn't do the job, I remember one time I think I come in and I was a closer, and I messed up a game. And, you know, back in those days, the starter went. You didn't use the closer like you do now. You might go a week or more. One guy went 40 days without getting in a game, but I messed up a game, and I hadn't pitched in a week, and I was mumbling around, walking back up the tunnel. I said, damn, if I'd pitch more often, maybe I'd be better. And then Weaver turned me around, looked me in the eye, and said, hey, if you can't do it, we'll get somebody else. Well, I figured out how to do it, so that was a good lesson.
In terms of the differences between when you played and today, as you're trying to get these guys ready for the big leagues or to go back to the big leagues in some cases, what do you make of the whole pitch count argument? Is that something the Astros stress or they don't stress? How cognizant are you of that at the AAA level as their pitching coach?
Well, we stress pitch counts big time. You know, we have a limit of 90 the first month, and it goes up to 100, and then we keep it at 100 or give or take five the rest of the year. You know, and back in the day, you know, when I first started, I pitched in the California League in Stockton, and I pitched 13 innings one day, and we didn't even keep a chart. So I don't know how many I threw. I struck out, I think, 10 and walked 6. And the only reason I didn't go out for the 14th, because we won it in the bottom of the 13th. And I don't know how many I threw. Just never kept pitch counts that much. Even in big leagues when I got there, you know. And I never had a pitching coach till I got to the big leagues. We didn't have pitching coaches in the minor leagues back then. So the game has changed a lot. And, you know, us old-timers like to talk about how great it was, and it was, but it's probably changed for the better like everything else has.
You mentioned Stockton. Now, if you don't mind, a circa figure is close enough for the purposes of my next question, but do you recall round about when you were pitching in Stockton in the Cal League?
Exactly, 1969 I pitched there. And we made a visit here to Fresno. I faced George Foster, and Steve Stone was on that club. Two of the guys that made it to the big leagues had good careers.
I mention that because the odds are good that either my father or his three siblings were in the stands that day, as my father grew up going to Billy Hebert Field to watch the Ports. And so any particular memories of being a Stockton Port? Were they the Ports then?
We were the Ports. He might have been at the game. We played the June 2nd, 1969. I was on that team, and I was the last pitcher because I just converted from the catcher to pitcher that year, so I made that team as the last guy, I think the 11th or 12 guys, or maybe it was a 10. We didn't take too many back then. And so I hadn't pitched much, so the Orioles come to town, who were the world champions that year, to play an exhibition game, June the 2nd. And our manager was Bill Worrell. We didn't have coaches or anything. He was just a manager to run the team. He said, Craig Keister's going to start and go five. Dyer, you got the last four. So I pitched the last four, and I got the win. We won 2-1. I struck out 6, and that's when, getting back to Earl Weaver, said, hey, who is that guy? Put him in a rotation. He throws pretty good. So from that time on, I pitched the next 5 years, every fifth day. He made it through Double A, Triple A, and finally the big leagues.
So that game in Stockton was, in fact, what inspired Earl Weaver to make you a regular member of the Orioles rotation, wasn't it?
It might have been. He never forgot me, so I appreciated that.
Well, how about that? And before I turn the recorder on, you brought up another one of my favorite places in the country and one of the great baseball towns in the minor league circuit, a place you played in the early 1970s. That was Asheville, North Carolina.
Yes, it was. Played there. Our Double A was in 1970 and 71, where I played, was in Dallas, Fort Worth. And we had to move out of there because the Rangers come in. So in 72, we moved to Asheville, and that was our Double-A franchise. And, you know, the Orioles had some great coaches over there in their system. Joe Aldabelli was another good guy. I played for him in Triple-A and Double-A. But Cal Ripken was the manager. Cal Sr. was the manager in Asheville. And we had some good teams back in those days. And I remember little Cal Jr., you know, being about 12 years old, running around on the field at that time.
Well, the seed was planted, and obviously Junior went on to his Hall of Fame career, very respectable career for his brother Billy as well. Well, I've spent a lot of time in McCormick Field, as you have. Doug Greenwald's even been there. And what are some of your memories of one of the more historic parks in all of professional baseball?
Well,
it hasn't changed much, by the way.
Yeah, it probably has not. Right field was 301, if I'm not mistaken, down the right field line. And there was a football stadium back past left field up there on the hill. So I remember that. Unfortunately, we had an incident where some guy was shooting a pellet gun or a rifle down on us during BP one day, and we had to scatter. And my roommate grabbed Cal Jr. and dragged him into the dugout. So there was a couple strange. That wasn't too good a day, but it was a real good hitter's park, especially the right field, I remember. But it was a nice place, nice town, very. For the Southern League, it was a very nice place to play because it was cool. All the other places were burning up.
Yeah, the one thing I remember, microclimates may well have changed in the interim number of years, is that it does rain a lot there. Did it rain a lot in the 70s there? A lot of games delayed or put off, doubleheaders the next day?
We had quite a bit of rain, if I remember right, but I can definitely remember we were always glad to get home because it was the temperature was pretty nice there. It was cool. And I was just talking to Dwight Bernard, the pitching coach of Sacramento, and he's from Mount Vernon, Illinois. And I said, hey, my goodness, how long have you lived here? He said, I've lived there all my life. I said, in 1972, we had a trainer, an older gentleman, that really helped me out. He was Doc Cole from Mount Vernon. He said, did you know him? He said, yes. Yes, I knew him. So it's a small world we live in.
Yeah, that's part of the fun of it. And I'll let you go with one more question. Turning it toward your current job here with the AAA affiliate of the Astros. With all of the moves that have taken place, sometimes you're seeing a pitcher that you're only just getting to know. It's not somebody who's been here all year or with you, at least in spring training in Florida. What do you try to stress to the guys who are just getting to know you as their coach and you as a pitcher under your tutelage? What are some of the basic tenets that you want everybody on your staff to try to follow when they go out there?
Well, when I meet a guy for the first time, and I know most of these guys because I've roved. You know, I know a little bit about him. I've roved the last 3 years. But I'll bring him in there and say, hey, I'm just going to let you pitch, do what you did in Double A. I'm going to let you pitch a couple times, and then we'll see how it goes, and I'll give you some suggestions after that. So that's basically what I've done. Most of these guys have either had one start or two starts, and we're starting to work on some things. But, you know, I think in each level you go up, it gets a little better, and you got to you need to have good command of your fastball, and you need to change speeds, and that's what I kind of stress to these guys. Command's a big thing, especially in this league. You can't be it's not good to walk people because the ball carries pretty good in this park, and you're going to give up home runs. You're going to give up some runs. You just got to hang in there and you know, try to get better each time out. So
I really appreciate your time, Dyer, and best of luck in the stretch run with you and the Grizzlies.
Okay, thanks, Scott. I enjoyed it.
Dyer Miller was our pregame guest. We'll return with more in a moment.